Well, sometimes we have to excuse some of the presents that we get for Mother's Day. Again, it's good to see you today on this special occasion when we honor our moms. You want to get your outline out of your program so that you can follow along with today's service. Today's message. A little boy was participating in a Sunday school play at his church, and he was all excited but a little nervous. And his mom knew that he was nervous, and so she was in the front row to prompt him. And she gestured and formed the words silently with her lips so that he could find his cue, but it didn't help. Her son's memory was blank when it came time for his line. Finally, she leaned forward and whispered the cue real loudly, "I am the light of the world." And then his face brightened. The light went on. And he said as loudly and as proudly he could, with a clear voice, "My mom is the light of the world." When I was a little boy, I believed that my mom was the world's greatest mom. This young lady that's sitting back here, next to Pat Robertson there, my mom, I thought she was the greatest in the world. And guess what? I was right. Now, maybe you're thinking that your mom was the world's greatest. Well, guess what? You should think that. I say amen. I think that everybody should think that. And if they do, they're justified. That's why t-shirts and coffee mugs and baseball hats and license plates that say "World's Greatest Mom" can sell so well. Today being Mother's Day, we want to honor the world's greatest mom, yours and mine. And to do so, we're going to take a quick look at history's greatest mom, Mary, the mother of Jesus. How did Jesus treat his mom? His earthly mother. What did Jesus give his mother? That's the question that we kids need to have answered. And for you moms, if Mary is the great example, what did she do for her family? Besides, of course, bringing the Son of God into the world. What was her great legacy as a mom? That's what we're going to look at here very briefly this morning. First, let's look at our part. What should we do for mom? Well, the answer in a nutshell, if we want to follow the example of Jesus, is give her plenty of TLC. TLC. And for those of you who may be a little bit mentally challenged, that means tender, loving care. The scene is Jesus' crucifixion. His body hangs from three spikes bored through his flesh into the rough timber. His swollen face, black and blue, from the slaps and punches of the soldiers, glistens with a glaze of fresh blood and sweat that oozes from his thorn-crowned brow. His back, shredded by the Roman whip into ribbons, is ablaze with agony. His mouth is a desert. The simple act of breathing is a painful ordeal that requires concentration and energy, both of which are sorely depleted. Out of this universe of anguish, he can only gasp seven short sound bites. Seven solemn sacred sayings that echo immortal to us across the deep canyons of 20 centuries. What does he say? What weighty topics does he choose to comment upon when every syllable is a laborious chore? Well, one of these priceless phrases, perhaps no more than a tortured whisper, was for the care of his mom. Let's tune in. John chapter 19, we pick it up in verse 26, and you can help me out when you see the yellow print. Jesus on the cross. When Jesus saw his mother and his favorite disciple with her, he said to his mother, "This man is now your son." Then he said to the disciple, "She is now your mother." From then on, that disciple took her into his own home. Think about it. This is the greatest moment in history, the crucifixion of Jesus, this and his resurrection. Jesus has the weight of the world's sin on his shoulders, a moment of cosmic significance. And yet, he's thinking at that moment about mom. By the world's standards, just a little old peasant woman from a hick town in Galilee called Nazareth. Jesus is a grown man here, of course, in his mid-30s, and his mother is a widow. He doesn't say, "Hey, I'm of age now. Somebody else is going to have to take care of you. You're on your own. I don't have time for you right now. After all, I'm literally out saving the world." No, he doesn't say that. Instead, he entrusts her to the very best, Jesus' best friend, the disciple John, who wrote the Gospel of John, by the way. We're told here that he was Jesus' favorite disciple. Did you notice that? Jesus' favorite disciple. We say that God doesn't play favorites, but here we're told that Jesus had a favorite disciple. John was Jesus' closest friend. He was in Jesus' inner circle. The only of Jesus' male disciples who actually had the guts to stick around when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He didn't chicken out like the others did. And so here he is, standing at the cross. John was Jesus' closest earthly friend. And he's the one who became known in history as the disciple of love. "This is the one for mom," Jesus said. "My favorite. He's the best I've got." Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we need to give mom. And guys, may I add, our wives. Our duty to love our wives transcends any other duty we have here on earth. It's certainly greater than our duty to our job, our career, even to our country. Our duty to take good care of mom and to take care of that bride that he's blessed us with. Here's some practical ways to show mom some TLC. Tell your mom today and every day that you love her. Have you told your mom today that you love her? Very simple question. The day is only a few hours old. You should be able to remember whether or not you've done that. If you haven't done that and your mom is still with you, make sure that you tell her, "I love you." And guys, don't forget to tell your wife that you love her as well. This is something we should do every day, and sometimes we guys, we struggle a little bit with this verbal affection. Second thing, treat her regularly to acts of unusual kindness. You know, on Mother's Day, you're expected to take her out, give her a present, that kind of thing. But to show up with a special gift or to take her out on a day that maybe she doesn't expect it, that's a great thing. To help her out, to do things for her. Another thing is to praise her, especially in front of others. Guys, you need to do this with your wives. Do you praise your wife, especially in front of others? I'm not talking about obnoxiously. I'm not talking about empty flattery. I'm talking about genuine, honest to goodness, praise and compliments for things that she does well. Look at what the book of Proverbs says. It's talking about the virtuous woman described. And it says, her children stand up and bless her. That's what we need to do. We need to stand up and bless our moms. Her husband praises her. Let's read together. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Now, guys, if you're wondering what to say, Scripture gives you a line. It's right there. You can start with this. Verse 30 says, charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. And so praise her in front of others. This is biblical. The next thing is something that we need to be reminded of from time to time, because no mom is perfect. Not even mine. At least that's what Scripture says. And so we need to forgive her for her faults. Scripture says we should do this with everybody. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 says, Jesus speaking, when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. You know, when you forgive a person, you set a prisoner free, and that prisoner is yourself. Because when you hold a grudge, you're actually punishing yourself, not just that other person. And so if mom has done things to you in the past that you knew weren't right, whether or not she realizes it or even owns up to it, you need to forgive her from the bottom of your heart. And then lastly, thank her for all she's done for you. When was the last time you did this? You know, sometimes on birthdays or special holidays in our family, we like to sit around and talk about the person that's receiving the gifts that day, whose birthday it is, or if it's Mother's Day, and just give recollections and memories of a way that that person has blessed us. And sometimes we actually videotape it. What a great thing to do, to recall things from the past that mom has done for you and bring those up and say, you know, I'm so grateful that you did that, that input that you had in my life. All right, well, those are some practical ways that we can show mom some TLC, some tender, loving care. Well, let's talk to mom herself right now. What's mom's part? What should mom do for us? Well, we're going to look at Mary's example and see what mom should do for us is to point us to the Savior. Point us to Him. Mom's job has got to be the toughest on earth. I like what Barbara Johnson said one time. She said, if motherhood was going to be easy, it never would have started with a thing called labor, right? I mean, you know you're in for trouble. With such an overwhelming role, it's easy to lose sight of the priorities, and I really think that we underestimate how hard it is, the role of motherhood. We who are guys, we underestimate that. What did Mary, the mother of Jesus, do? You know, everything in Mary's life, we don't know a whole lot about her life, but everything we know about it pointed to the Savior, to Jesus. Her life was a model that pointed to Him. You know, I was raised in a church tradition to have great respect for Mary, the mother of Jesus. But you know, my respect went up hugely, took a giant leap forward when I first read these words in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. These are the words of Mary recorded for us. She says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Did you catch that? Those last three words God, my Savior? To me, this was shocking, even scandalous, but cool. I mean, really cool. Mary needs a Savior? She needs a Savior? That's like Tiger Woods needing golf lessons. That's like Bill Gates needing food stamps. You know, when I officiated at my dad's funeral, I considered it a privilege and an honor, even though it was hard, to officiate at my dad's funeral. I remember talking about what a great guy he was, and it was all true. How generous, how fair, how honest he was. Not a prejudiced bone in his body. And everybody, while I was saying those things, nodding their heads. Yep, that's true, that's right. But then came the showstopper. When I said to all of those gathered for this funeral, this solemn occasion, I said, but I have to tell you folks, my dad was not good enough to go to heaven. All of a sudden, this tidal wave of gasp came rolling toward me. What? What is he saying? Your dad? Well, he was the best guy I knew. What are you saying? Is this going to be one of those tell-all speeches? You're going to tell us that really behind the scenes, behind closed doors, your dad was an abusive father or something like that? You're not going to use the occasion of your dad's funeral to say something like that, are you? No, not at all. I'm simply making the very simple point that my dad was not a good enough person. He was not moral enough to go to heaven. That's all I'm saying. Actually, no one is. Mother Teresa, a person that we think of in modern times as good as it gets, she herself was not good enough to go to heaven. She herself said so. Not Mother Teresa, not my dad, not even Mary. The mother of Jesus. How dare I say such a thing? You know, I could have got my mouth slapped for saying something like that when I was a little kid. But I don't need to say it. She herself says it. Mary speaks of God as her Savior. Even Mary, the best mom who ever lived, needed a Savior from her sin. You know, in today's society, we think that everyone goes to heaven who dies, except maybe Hitler or Charles Manson or the scumbag child molester that we see that was arrested and is on TV. But folks, let me clear up the confusion. Scripture teaches that none of us is good enough to go to heaven. Why? Because there's a barrier between us and God. It's called sin. Romans 3, verse 23 says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard." Each and every one of us. Some of us are better than others. Yes, that's true. You may be better than I am, or I may be better than you, but it doesn't really matter because we all fall short. Moms, if you're anything like my mom, your family looks up to you, big time. They think you're the world's greatest mom, and so when your life communicates to them, I need a Savior, I need Jesus, to save me from my sin, to forgive my sin, and to give me power to live my life every day for you. Mom, when you communicate that, it comes across powerfully. I remember how my mom prayed for us and pointed us to Jesus. And I remember my dad, who needed Jesus, I mentioned him before, and found the Lord Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. And part of that was due to my mom's example. Jesus said, look at this verse, John chapter 3, verse 3, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. That's not just a catchphrase that presidential candidates use when they want to get elected. It comes from Jesus himself. He says, you must be born again. Mom, you gave us natural birth, and we thank God for it. You brought us into this world. But to be saved, to go to heaven, we all need to be born a second time. We need to be born spiritually. Has that happened to you? Have you been born again? It's a life-changing experience. No, it's more than that. It is an eternity-altering experience to be born again. Well, how does this happen? Let's look at another verse in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12. Notice, but to all who believed him, it's talking about Jesus, him, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. This is what makes a person a child of God, being born again, according to Scripture. Jesus is not just a great man, a great teacher. He's the Lord God in human flesh. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. He died in our place so that we wouldn't have to suffer the punishment of hell. You need to receive him, Scripture says. You need to be born again in order to have that payment applied to you personally. You need to be saved in order to go to heaven. Mom, the most important thing you can do on this earth for your kids after giving them birth, giving them life, is with your words, with your deeds, with your lifestyle, with your patient teachings, to point them to the Savior. To say what Mary said to the servants at the wedding of Canaan when they ran out of wine. She said, John chapter 2, verse 5, his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. She's talking about Jesus. Do whatever he tells you. That was great advice. She's pointing to the Savior. Do whatever he tells you. Amen. A 36-year-old woman named Patty Lawson was driving in the San Bernardino Mountains out in California with her 2-year-old son when her car slid off the road and landed upside down in a cold mountain stream. When the rescuers found her many hours later, Patty was dead. But miraculously, her 2-year-old son was alive. They found her locked in death, holding her little boy's head just above the water in the submerged car that they were trapped in. For 8.5 hours, they determined, Patty Lawson held her toddler afloat, and then she finally died, her body frozen in death in this life-saving position, holding her baby up in 48-degree water so that he could breathe in the little air that was in there. She died with her arms outstretched, saving his life. Jesus died with his arms outstretched to save you. Men and women, You've all been born once. The fact that you're here is proof of that. But have you been born again? If you were to die today and stand before God and He were to ask you, "Why should I let you into heaven?" What would you say? "Well, I was a good person. I was better than so-and-so. I tried. I went to church. I tried to keep the golden rule, the Ten Commandments." Unfortunately, none of those answers would get you into heaven. Only a Savior can get you into heaven, folks. You need the Savior, just as Mary did. You need the Savior's salvation. I love this picture here. It's a picture of the throne of God, God in His brightness, the cherubim, and then this man standing at the throne of God with his head bowed, the angel standing next to him recording, and then Jesus with his arm on this man. This man's advocate saying, "Yes, I know he's a sinner. I know he's a lawbreaker, but I'm his Savior. I died in his place. I took the punishment for him. And he received me as his personal Lord and Savior. And so his sins are washed away. He's clean." He was a Christ follower. Will that be said of you when you stand before God? Or will you be there alone with your own righteousness to lean upon? We're going to end our service right now. But I want to give you an opportunity. If you've never been born again, maybe you've gone to church all your life, but you've never been saved. Or maybe you're not sure. Maybe you think, "Well, I've never heard it quite put that way. I'm not sure now, but I'd like to be sure." For you to have that opportunity right now, let's just bow our heads. And if you think that you would like to be saved today, I would ask you to just express your faith in the Lord this way. "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. I know my own goodness is not enough. And yet, I know that Jesus, the Lord, God in human flesh, came to pay the penalty for my sin on the cross and was raised from the dead. Father, I receive Him as my personal Savior. I repent of my sin, and I ask Jesus to save me. Save me, Lord. Give me a new life. Change the course of my life and my eternity from this day on. May I be born again today. And I will follow you today and the rest of my life. In Jesus' name." Now, if you prayed that prayer, and I'm not going to single you out or anything, but keep your heads bowed, please. If you prayed that prayer today, I'd ask you that you would acknowledge it just by putting up your hand. Let me see. Yes, yes, I see that. I see that. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, I want to just say to you that raised your hands that today you can write down as your new birth. You have a new master as of today. Your life will never be the same. He's your Lord now. And I'd really welcome the opportunity to talk with you and help you to know how you might follow him. Talk to me or maybe the person that invited you or you came with today. Maybe you're here today and you didn't raise your hand. You still have a lot of questions about this. That's fair. That's fine. Come on and talk to me. You're welcome to. I'll be down here right after the service. Or maybe somebody invited you, or you know of another person in this church that might be able to help you with that question. Talk to that person. Don't let it end here. Make today the greatest day of your life, whether or not you're a mom. Let's stand. Remember what you learned today. To love on your mom, tender love and care. All right? God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you here next Sunday.